appreciate the ones behind him on the depth chart.
I mean,
no,
hey,
I don't.
I
don't.
Appreciate the one we got.
I
love the one you
went. Yeah, that's fine. I'm not about the guys behind him on the depth chart. They might stink out loud. All right, we'll get to that and the Eagles' decisions here. As the 53-man roster said, how he's set to talk today, we will certainly bring that to you. If it's during our show, it might be during the afternoon. We'll find out. Elliot's going to be in Studio 12 talking about all the Eagles stuff. But, Hugh, you said something there, you know, kind of fascinating, getting the wheel spinning. And I'll tell you, the Phillies are doing that for me because I'm ready to say something now that I wasn't ready to say the whole season.
What you got to say,
Joe? This team looks different, Hugh Douglas. They look different. They feel different. And I mean different than last year's team, different than the 24 team, different than 23 team. To me, this Phillies team, coming off a sweep of the Angels this weekend, they have more guts than any Phillies team we've seen, I would say, since 2022. Now, they're not perfect. And, you know, the teams the last couple of years, you can make case last year's team maybe top to bottom was better. But this team has something to them that makes me more confident as we go towards October than I have been in a long time. Hugh, they're 20-7 in August. Since Mattingly took over, they're 68-41. And when Sosa hit that home run on Friday, it was the Phillies' fourth go-ahead home run with two outs in the ninth inning. No other team has three. Like, they have guts to them right now that I don't think any team we've seen around here has or had in a long time. And I remember sitting with you, I think it was August 12th at McGurk's, and that was when the schedule started to get lighter, right? And I said to you, man, they got to win 10 or 11.
They got to make hay.
Right. They have to win 10 or 11 of the next, you know, couple weeks here because then the schedule is going to get harder. Starting with now, tonight, they go to Arizona. Hugh, they won 13. I said 10 or 11. They won 13. I mean, they didn't just play well. They played exceptional baseball. They're getting contributions all over the lineup. Hugh, where are you at on this? Are you ready to say this team is different? And when I say that, guys, I don't mean just making the playoffs. They've done that. You know what I mean when I say different. Are you ready to say they're different in a way that you think they're going to perform differently in the month of October? Hugh, where are you at as the Phillies sweep the Angels?
You know, this team, since I've been here, has always been special, but the fact remains is that when the postseason starts, they revert to their old ways. Now, I do feel like with Arise here that it might not be the case. Mm-hmm. But there's – I don't want to say I'm folding my arms and waiting for the postseason
there
to start.
There he is. Douglas.
I'm not. But because I feel what you're saying. But been here too long to see – since I've been here – it's been kind of the same old, same old. And I'm hoping that it's different. Put it like this, Joe. I see what you're saying. I hope it's different this time.
Yeah, and look, I think we all do. There's something about them that feels like a switch has flipped. And to me, it comes down to a couple things. One, they're getting top to bottom the best pitching they've gotten in a long time. They have five starters right now that you could feel like, all right, I can go win a baseball game with. And they haven't had that in a long time. Even the Painter start on Friday. Speaking of guts, he showed guts on Friday, Painter. I mean, it's wild pitch after wild pitch. And then he settles down, and he gave them a pretty decent outing and let them come back in that game. And then, Hugh, the one thing that is different, I think, about this team than we've seen in a while, it's the other guys, right? We always talk about Harper and Schwarber and Trey. And, you know, two of those three usually are pretty good. The other ones, you know, usually is not. And you know who I'm talking about. That's the shortstop. But we always talk about those guys. Hugh, it's not just them. It's everybody else. I mean, Derek Hill continues to make big moments. Edmundo Sosa continues to be one of the best high-leverage hitters in all of baseball this year. They're getting contributions all over the roster. And then you throw a rise in there, and it feels like something's happening here. And, you know, I was thinking about this season compared to the other ones. This one reminds me the most of 2022. They're flawed, and they were flawed in 22. But they started off really bad. And then they made the manager switch, and they played primarily really good baseball for 3 or 4 months. And then I think it started to hit us at the end of August. It's like, wait a second. Are they really good? I mean, Hugh, since they changed the manager, I know they've had some peaks and valleys. They're playing at a 100-win pace over the last 4 months since they changed the manager. That's pretty darn good for a long time now.
Yeah. You know what the unfortunate thing about baseball, because I'm just sitting here thinking about when Kyle thought that Don, and Kyle's not here, you know, shout out to Kyle, that he didn't know what he was doing. There's a lot of data that goes into evaluating baseball teams. And it's the ebb and flow of the seasons. Too many games to be up and down, like Dow Jonesy, like we are. But they have been playing well. But like I said, Joe, the biggest thing that I think of when I think of this team is how are they going to hit in the postseason?
Well, so that's fair, Hugh. But they're scoring the most runs per game in August. Like, since Arise got here, I don't know if we realize it. This is the best offensive baseball since Arise got here. The best. Like, not top 10, not top 5, number 1 most runs per game in baseball. Hugh, I don't expect that to continue, right? That's hard. That's a hard bar to be number 1.
Yeah, but if you
could they be top 10?
Yeah,
I think
if you could be somewhere around there and keep, try to keep some consistency, that's what you want. But we've seen stretches like this before. And we've also seen going into the postseason where the bats were cold and we were hoping and praying that what we saw wasn't actually what we saw. So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Well, the other thing I think it's worth noting, and this was brought up a lot last week, because we, you know, we kind of started having this discussion last week, the week before. Like, are you starting to buy in? Are you starting to let your guard down, let yourself believe again, full, you know, fully in this Phillies team? One thing that came up a lot here the last 2 weeks was, for some people, it was really hard to fully buy in until Christopher Sanchez and Zach Wheeler started to be more like themselves.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, Christopher Sanchez Saturday was awesome. I mean, he was awesome to the point you wondered, like, should he have been given the eighth inning instead of going to the bullpen there? But he was awesome. That was, that looked like the Sanchez that we saw a lot in April and a lot in May. That was great. And then yesterday, like, I don't think Zach Wheeler was awesome yesterday.
But he was serviceable.
He was better. No, he I think it was a step in the right direction. I mean, that game started yesterday, and there's a couple guys on base. I'm like, uh-oh. They get the double play. They kind of get out of that first inning without big damage. I'm like, all right, maybe this is different. And I thought he battled his way. So Wheeler was better. Sanchez was better. Luzardo's awesome. Nola's been really good for a couple months. Painter has a pulse now. They've got guts up and through down the lineup. Their defense has been okay. I'm feeling good. I just feel like this team is different. It's one of those things where you say the word different, it's tough to put your finger on it, but I feel it. 215-592-9494. Where you at on the Phillies this morning as they sweep the Angels, they head to Arizona. They're now five up on a playoff spot. So this is a big series to where they could create even more distance, but we're starting to think about October now. I mean, the MLB postseason starts less than a month from now. I think it's September 29th they start that thing, or 30th. So we're close now. And I feel this Phillies team is different. 215-592-9494. Hugh's not ready to say it. I am.
Jack, not ready.
Jack Miller's producing in for Kyle today. Jack, your thoughts on the Phillies? Are you ready to say this one might be different?
It is a little different, Joe. I'm not going to lie. It feels good to actually see some of these bottom guys in the lineup actually producing that the way that they are. And it almost kind of feels like, to a certain extent, that they're almost trying to be that complete team that they're trying to be when everyone has peaked, right? But the only problem is that there's just that little hole at shortstop. And that's what scares me a little bit.
Well, that hole is...
How about your boy?
Yeah, that scares me a lot. Yeah, but all the pieces are clicking right now. No, it's really nice to
see. It's a $300 million problem. It is. It's been that way for a couple years. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll start with all your phone calls on the Phillies here. Are you ready to say this team is different? They feel it to me, and we have something brewing here. The best comparison I could give you is 2022, because that wasn't their best quote-unquote team, but that team had guts. You saw it in that first playoff game when they were in St. Louis. That team had guts, and Segura and guys like that in the lineup. Luis Arraez and the guys they brought in this year, Derek Hill, you know, even a guy like Sosa, that they have guts. They remind me of some of those guys in 2022. They have it. I don't think they've had this in years. And I'm excited for what this month of September is going to be and down the stretch into October. 215-592-9494 are coming up. All your phone calls on the Phillies. We'll start there. We'll get to some Eagles. But we'll let you hear what it sounded like this weekend, including one of the craziest ninth innings you'll ever see Friday night in LA, how it sounded, and what Don Mattingly, the manager of this team, had to say about the team, the comebacks, and what this team is showing right now. That's all coming up. It is the Midday Show right here on Sports Radio. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We will get to the Eagles' 53-man roster. And the fact that all four of these quarterbacks are still here. What the heck's going on? What is Howie Roseman doing? We'll talk about that coming up. All your phone calls all day long. We start with the Phillies. And are you ready to say this team is different? I am. Something's different about them. And it just feels like they have more guts than they've had in years. They have five pitchers that are going right now, as well as any five have gone in a long time here. Bryce Harper has had one of the best months we've ever seen him have. If Bryce Harper started the season like this, after April, we would say an MVP, MVP. That, he's played like an MVP for the last month or so. They have a lot of things going right now. And they have something about them where they're never out of a game. I mean, last Sunday at home against the Cardinals, down four, two outs, ninth inning. You think that game's over, right? Now they come back and win the game. And then Friday night, let's go through this. If you were sleeping or you kind of saw the highlights, this might have been the most gutsy win of the year, all things considered. So they're down the ninth inning on Friday. And Bryce's thought, let's hear Bryce's thoughts. Bryce's thought seemed to, you know, give them the moment, except it was taken away. Here's how that sounded Friday. I mean, that's the kind of moment, Hugh. I mean, that's a gut punch, right? You think you have the home run. I mean, the ball was over the wall. The guy jumps over the wall to catch it. You're like, oh, damn, we're not going to win this
and
one.
And then
tonight.
Had the athleticism to pinpoint that thing when it's going like that.
Incredible catch. Yeah. But then, you know, at that point, I'm like, all right, they lost, right? It's just, they're not going to win this game. Edmundo Sosa, who just has a knack for big hits and big moments, steps up. and he made it right.
Swing and a drive. Center field. Deep. Trout at the wall. It's gone! It's a grand slam! Edmundo Sosa with a pinch hit slam has given the Phillies a 5-3 lead.
That's a great call by Scott there, and a great moment. And Sosa has a thing where when he thinks it's gone, he likes to watch it fly.
Ryan Howard-esque.
Yeah, he does. He pimps it. But he knew that was gone, and it was. It's a grand slam. They win the game on Friday. Hits another one yesterday to put him ahead. Let's hear the manager, Don Mattingly. Good job inserting Sosa as a pinch hitter there to go win that baseball game on Friday. The way Hugh, he's right. I mean, they asked him about that moment, but they have done this a few times this year. I mean, they have four home runs to go ahead in the ninth inning. No other team in baseball has three. There's just something about this particular group here that's like, they're never kind of out of a game.
You know, it's something to be said when you get comfortable living in that kind of space where you feel like the game is never out of reach for you. And that's what it kind of feels like with this team right now, that they're in a space where no matter what happens, the game is not out of reach for them.
Yeah, they are. Well, that's true. They are like that. And I think things are coming together in a way that we should kind of wrap our arms around this. The bullpen is coming. I like Bolin. I like, they have something to McFarland. The starting pitchers are playing well. Bryce is hitting the cover off the ball. His OBP since Arise got here is over 500. So things are really moving here. And I think this team is different. 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines. Jeff in Wilmington starts us off this morning on Jeff. WIP. Good morning, Jeff.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Jeff.
What's going on, man?
So there's a stat I saw yesterday. The since Arise has gotten here, which also coincides with the Boehm going to first and Stock going to third and Harper to right field. Those three guys have OPS over 925.
Wow.
Like each one of them.
Yeah.
Harper's is over 1,000. Those three guys are having – that might be for each of them a career month. You know what I'm saying? A career best month that they've had. That – the idea that they're all taking more pitches, Harper doesn't feel the pressure of having to hit in the third spot. Like, he's taken so many walks because Arise is behind him and hitting over 300. And just the idea of watching somebody like Arise hit as another player, you're like, huh, that guy's taking a lot of pitches. He's not even afraid to hit with two strikes. That's big because it does a couple things. One, it ups your average on base percentage, and it also makes the pitcher throw a lot more pitches.
Well, it changes everything. So I just looked it up as you were saying it, Jeff. So since August 1st, right? And I think that's right around the time Arise arrived, right? The beginning of the month. So this whole month, the Phillies have the best walk rate in baseball. So they've walked more, a higher percentage than any team. But here's the best part. They have the second lowest strikeout rate. So they're walking way more. They're getting on base and they're not swinging and missing. It's like, this is the team, especially with the strikeout stuff, Jeff, we've wanted this for years. Like, this is what we kept asking for.
A guy like Arise hardly ever even swings and misses. Like, I think he's only swung and missed probably less than 10 times since he's been here. That's insane to me.
It is. You know? Jeff, it's funny. You know, we always say, think about prime Ryan Howard or Schwarber. Like, those are the at-bats you don't want to miss. I tell you, when I watched the games the last month, I don't want to miss Arise's at-bats.
No, I'm on it all the time. The other thing is, I think we've mentioned this before, is the Painter and Nola coming around over the last 6 weeks. And Painter, I think, is growing into the actual talent that he has, meaning he gets settled down after that one bad inning, and usually it's in the first inning, and he gets in a groove, man. He uses his talent, and I think maturity plays a big part in that.
I think so, too. And Jeff, that on Friday night, that showed some guts. Because that first inning, I mean, he couldn't find the plate. I mean, he's throwing wild pitches in the dirt all over the place. I'm like, oh, no. Sheesh, they got to get him out of the game. And then he settled down. And, I mean, we played the cuts and we played Stott and Sosa. But the reason they had a chance in the ninth inning is because he gave them a decent outing.
Yep. And got a pretty decent outing from Wheeler yesterday. And what I also like is McFarlane. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. That guy's working his way into higher leverage situations, and he's got a month to do it. He's got the rest of the whole month of September to get himself into the spot where Alvarado usually is put in, or Kirkland.
Sure. And the Phillies, and Jeff could phone him, and the Phillies have shown they're willing to do this, right? In 2023, they brought up Kirkland in September, and by the time we got to October, he was in big moments. So I think McFarland, he's got a real shot to pitch in October. Hugh, once in a while this happens where a guy will come up in August, July, and then hey, kid, you're the best option we have. You're going to pitch in a big moment. That kid might be one of those players.
Yeah, man, and it's one of those things, especially when you talk about everything that's potentially looming with baseball, that you got to take advantage of those situations. If they're calling you up, there's something that you've shown them, yeah, that they have to believe in you. You got to step up to the plate.
Well, and let's not forget, they traded for two pitchers at the deadline, the two relief pitchers, Raley, and they traded for Killian from the Giants. But Killian got hurt like a week in. So they're kind of missing that right-handed pitcher they traded for. And I think McFarland is going to be that guy down the stretch. Jeremy in Newtown Square is up talking to Phils. Hey, Jeremy.
Yeah, hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Regarding the Phils, you know, something I realized over the weekend, something to look forward to. They have 25 games left. 19 of those games are against teams with winning records. Mm. And 13, believe it or not, 13 are against first-place teams. Their last six games are with Milwaukee and Tampa Bay. I don't know. I don't have the schedule in front of me. I don't know if they're home or away. But that's a pretty tough road to hoe. So I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that some of those teams have clinched maybe at the end of the year and they really aren't playing, you know, to win.
Well, for sure. And Jeremy, you're right about that. And they are at home, those last six, Milwaukee and Tampa. But what you're saying is why 3 weeks ago I thought that this stretch that they just finished was so important, because I thought they had to, like, they had to really take advantage of this and stack up the wins, because September is just going to be harder, like you're saying. But credit to the Phillies, Jeremy. They did that, right? They've been dominant the last 2 weeks, so at least we have a little cushion going into this.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough last couple of weeks.
Well, it will, but it'll be. I think it'll be a nice test. And Jeremy, we appreciate the phone call. I mean, he would start.
Litmus test.
Yeah, well, it starts tonight. So they go to Arizona for three, starting tonight, today, tomorrow, and then Wednesday afternoon. And then it's Atlanta for four here. It's Houston for three here. Then they go to Atlanta. They only have one week where they play bad teams the rest of the way, and that is a road trip to Washington to face the Nats and to go to New York to play the Mets. That's it. I mean, everything else is against either first-place teams or teams around first-place. Jeremy just hit it with Milwaukee and Tampa Bay at the end. So, I mean, Hugh, the question is, and I don't know the answer to this one yet, is what will those games at the end mean? They are still within striking distance of the division, though it's the long shot, right? They're five back of the division if they're going to catch the Braves.
Yeah, but you got Atlanta for seven, right?
Seven.
Okay.
But once we get through Atlanta, like, what does that look like? And are they actually... I do wonder the last 2 weeks what their priority is. Are they chasing the division, or are they kind of setting themselves up knowing they're going to play in the wild card?
I would probably say set yourself up for the wild card.
That would be the most logical thing.
Yeah, I mean, because you're playing pretty good baseball. I think, you know, if it's in striking distance, that's a conversation, because you got Atlanta for seven. But I'd probably try to set myself up for the wild card.
Well, the other thing that now I think comes back into play is they have tied the Cubs for that top wild card spot. They're tied. Now, the Cubs have a tiebreaker because they beat the heck out of us in April. But to me, that's a big deal. I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, Jack. I don't love the idea of playing the Cubs, but I specifically don't want to go to Wrigley Field. Like, I'd rather play them here. So that's something, if I could finagle getting home field in that, I would push for that.
Yeah, and PCA, the last 13 games, he's batting like .333.
Yeah, he's insane.
And he's been getting leadoff homers almost as Schwarber was when he was getting like as many leadoff homers as he was a couple years ago. And that's just not a team right now that's too hot that I do not want to play. The Braves, they're kind of... They're up and down, just like the Phillies are, but the Phillies have been pretty consistent. I would just want them to try and just beat out the Braves in these coming series and just try and take the division. And JT was saying that this past weekend, and I think it's true that they really want to try and get the NL East again.
Well, you could feel it. Now, they'd have to play really well I mean, I think they'd have to win five out of seven against the Braves, because that would cut three games off, and it would make the final few weeks interesting. But they've put themselves in a spot where, yeah, I mean, if they keep playing like they are, they have a chance. And this is a big series this week, because I think the Phillies have done a great job the last 3 weeks or so of kind of burying the teams below them in the race. They buried the Cardinals with a sweep. They buried the Marlins with a sweep. Now go bury the Diamondbacks. I mean, if they sweep the Diamondbacks this week, they basically bury them and almost essentially clinch a spot in the playoffs. Let's go to Will in the Northeast. Will, what's up, pal?
Will. Oh, hey, good morning, Dream Team. Happy Sweep Away Monday, baby.
I like it, Will. Listen, I like it, buddy. What are we feeling?
Keep them brooms out. You know, man, let's keep them brooms out, man. Mm-hmm. And you know what? This team is different. And I'm going to tell you why. Because of what I said, man.
What you
listen,
say?
Listen, man, and I wasn't saying anything wrong. I said, listen, you add the right ingredients. Guess what? You got the best tasting gumbo around, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they did. They added the right ingredients, and now we're cooking. And what I want to say, man, I don't want the division. I think that division, winning that division, it takes away the hunger, man, because we got comfortable every time we won it. Mm-hmm. So listen, man, listen, keep playing the way you've been playing. This is what I love. I like the fight in y'all, man. Mm-hmm. Let's keep that strong hunger. Let's keep that strong strike. And guess what? All we got to do is manufacture runs. And guess what? Keep the other team off base, baby. And that's what we've been doing. And guess what? It's been working. All we got to do is keep this game plan going. And, man, I don't want the division. I want the World Series. And I hope that's what they're banking on. And real quick about the Eagles, please. Can I?
What do you got, Will? What are you thinking on the Birds? Go ahead.
Man, let's talk my man still, man. Why they do that? Like, I mean, I know they loaded on the run, but let me just say this, and I'm going to end it real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, if you look around the league, every team is stacking with defense. We need them type of running backs and them type of receiving running backs in order to wear this defense down. That's the name of this game this season, is to beat the defense. Wear the defense down, bro. Because if you looked at every preseason game, we lost because our defense was wore out. They was done. You know what I'm saying? So listen, man, bring back my man Steele, man, because guess what? He's a great catcher, and he's an all-purpose player, man. Bring back Steele, baby. That's all I got.
Love it, Will. Appreciate it. Yeah, we're going to go through the entire 53-man roster coming up in the next hour. But that was probably, Hugh, I would say, the player that played the best in the preseason that did not make the team.
The brightest light.
Yeah, was Carson Steele.
And you know what? Somebody asked me that Friday, why did they do it? Well, mm-hmm. They asked me Saturday because he got cut. I think it was Saturday, right?
Yeah, well, yesterday, the full roster had to be in, but I started leaking out Saturday into Sunday. Yeah.
And people were asking, why did he get cut? And I didn't know the answer immediately because I don't know how the team was, what they were thinking. But now, since they've set their 53-man roster today, it seems like it was a numbers game, you know? Because when you talk about, when you look at the roster, like they're normally – there's only 2 to 3 quarterbacks on the squad.
I know.
We got four. And I didn't look so much at the offensive side of the ball, but I'm pretty sure we probably got at least 7 to 10 offensive linemen. I didn't look at the roster for that because I would think
it's probably closer to 10.
Yeah, I kind of stayed with the defense. So we kept like 7 DBs. We kept like, I want to say, 6 defensive linemen. We got like 4 middle linebackers.
10 offensive linemen.
Okay, so that's right. So you kept 10, and you kept probably, what, 8 D linemen or something like that?
So they have 5 edge rushers and 5 what you would consider a defensive tackle or lineman.
So 10 trench guys.
Yeah.
10 total.
Yep. So 10 and 10, so that's 20.
Yeah, so that's 20 right there, and you got 7 DBs. So the numbers bear it out where you kept a lot of DBs.
Well, actually, 9 DBs. Six corners.
Nine.
Corners and 3 safeties.
That's a lot.
Yep.
So that he got caught in the numbers game.
Well, and then we'll get to this. But, I mean, really, this, if we're talking about numbers for anything, the fact that they have 4 quarterbacks in the 53.
Well, that threw everything off. That and the corners, I think. Because you usually, on most rosters, if you look around, you probably, some teams might keep 8 offensive linemen, 8 defensive linemen. We got 2 extra, both sides of the ball.
Well, it's probably because that's how we win on both sides.
Yeah,
right? I mean,
because the game is in the trenches.
Yeah.
And they like to keep guys fresh and rotate guys. We got 4 middle linebackers, like I said, and 5 outside linebackers.
Let's go to J-Dog in Douglasville. J-Dog.
Hey, Joe, you, Jack, YG, guys.
What's up, J-Dog? What are you thinking
not
today?
Not too much. Yeah, I had 2 questions. Actually, thoughts, questions. 1 Phillies, 1 Eagles. So, I think, like you said, Joe, I think this team definitely turned a corner. You know, and just 1 word, 2 words, would be small ball. I mean, we've been waiting for small ball for how many years?
For years.
And they're finally doing it. I mean, that bunt by Hill was absolutely freaking amazing.
Hey, Doug, I got to tell you, I love Derek Hill. That, you know, Dombrowski gets a lot of heat, deservedly so, but that's one of those under-the-radar kind of moves. That was a great move.
Yeah.
Every time he plays, I feel like he impacts the game in a positive way.
Definitely. No, he's just a breath of fresh air. Love him. You know, they're all playing. And then the other thing is you finally have Stott and Boehm and Marsh. They blossom. And we waited for 3 years. I mean, I know I was right there ready to say, let's trade Boehm. He was looking not good. But this guy, you know, I'd like to see what he's going to do in postseason. I just hope he shows up, but I think he might have turned the corner, all these guys. So that's what we were waiting for. You know, we were waiting for this for years. And, you know, they finally did it. So, and then obviously with the bullpen, you know, McFarland, you know, that was the main thing. You're bleeding, you know, you're getting runs and then you're giving it up. And, you know, and they, you know, finally you have these guys pitching good, relieving, you know. So I think we need to win the division. I think you really want to go and get that. I don't want to play around. I really want to get that division. I think that it's needed. That's what I think.
Well, I would love to, and J-Dog, good phone call. It's going to be challenging. We can be clear. As well as the Phillies are playing, they are five back of the Atlanta Braves, and there's not that many games to play. Now, again, they have the seven head-to-head games. That's huge. But, you know, there's the math says it's going to be hard to catch them. Would I like to do it? I mean, of course I'd like to do it. I mean, the idea of the Phillies avoiding the first, because I think there's two parts to this. Is it just avoiding the wild card round and there's winning the division? The only way they avoid the wild card round is if they get to a top two seed, right? Because because the Braves right now are the three seed. So if the Phillies caught the Braves, they still would have to play in the first round of the playoffs. Like
They could still catch the Dodgers.
They could.
They're
right.
Tied with the Braves right now, actually.
Right. So the way I see it, Milwaukee seems like in pretty good position to get a bye. So there's like one bye left, right? The Dodgers or the NL East winner. Hugh, if they can get up to the two seed, that to me would be worth going all out for down the stretch of the season, because you totally avoid a first round of the playoffs. You get the bye.
Yeah, I think. But right now, like, you look like you're turning the corner as far as the way you're playing. Let's try to get that going. Let's try to play the best baseball we can.
Well, yeah.
Say 20-some games left. Let's play the best baseball we can going into the postseason.
Can we do the math? They're 77-60. That means they've played 137 games. We got that? Are we all good on that? 137?
Mm-hmm.
You got that, Hugh? How many games we got left?
Nah. 137, so 162, right?
Yeah. So I think we're at
25. Okay, yeah.
There 25. We go.
We're on the same page?
Why are you looking at me like that, page. Jack, knowing damn well I'll do math?
I don't know. It took you a little bit.
25 games left.
Yeah, I was in this. Like, wait a minute. They might ask me to.
You were so caught off guard.
Wait a minute.
Well, now I'm doing more math. What do we think they have to do to actually win the division? So the Braves are at 82 wins. I'm thinking they probably have to win out of these last 25 games something at like 17.
You're probably right, because my first thought was 12, but you're probably right, 17.
Well, if they only win 12, that means the Braves only have to win 8 out of their last 25. That's not going to work. If we win 17 out of 25, that would get us to 94 wins, and the Braves, they would go 13-12. We could steal it from them. That might work.
That actually could work.
Yeah. It feels like 17-8 down the stretch if they want to steal this division. All right. Derek Hill's name just came up. Can we hear the catch he made? Yesterday? Yeah, yesterday afternoon, early in the game. Man, this guy just makes plays every time he plays.
Yeah, he had some moments.
Let's hear Derek Hill's catch. You know, the other thing, I was thinking about this watching the game yesterday. The other thing this team has that a lot of Phillies teams in recent years have not had, Hugh, they have options for the manager. Like, you know, let's go back to 2023, right?
Mm-hmm.
Johan Rojas was the center field. They didn't really have another option. I mean, he's all they had. So they had to go down with the ship and hope he didn't kill them.
Yeah, and the game caught some of the postseason games caught him.
He killed him.
Yeah.
So, but this year, let's just use Derek Hill. Look, I think Crawford has played better in the last 2 months, and I like the way his rookie year is ending. But if Justin Crawford is going through it in the postseason or he's struggling, they have Derek Hill now. Like, they have options at all these spots. They didn't have that in the past. I think it gives them a better chance to win in October. 215-592-9494. Are you ready to say this Phillies team's different? We got a lot to talk about today. We'll get to the Eagles stuff coming up at 11, including a thought I have on Howie Roseman that I haven't had in a long, long time. We'll get to that. And on the other side, along with your calls, a congratulations is in order for one of our own at WIP, and maybe some criticism from Hugh Douglas. That's next. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94. The weekend that was. Congratulations in order.
John Ritchie.
Our very own John Ritchie got married. He and Alicia got married this weekend out in Vegas. Hugh Douglas. Congratulations, kind of John Ritchie and his wife.
I felt some kind of way, though.
What do you mean?
I wanted to sing at the wedding.
You wanted to sing at the wedding?
No, I'm happy for them. They look beautiful,
yes,
man.
Yes, they did.
And the fact that his wife was willing, like, you know, they just went to Vegas and got married.
They did, like, the Vegas thing. They got married in Vegas.
And from what I was told, it was her idea. I mean, that's rare.
Now, what do you mean you wanted to sing? Like, you wanted them to have, like...
I wanted to sing. I was going to sing.
Yeah, you mean, like, you wanted to have a big wedding here and you would be the singer?
Well, I was going to sing One Woman Man by David Hollister.
Okay.
I was going to sing that song, but...
You offered your services and they turned out flat?
They flew to Vegas. They made a whole weekend of it, you know? The fact that she was okay with him going for the Raiders weekend...
Yep.
And then getting married, that was that's pretty gangster.
Very cool. Very
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, because, you know, thinking about it, I don't know too many women that would be okay with that.
Now, I will.
She's a rare breed.
Yes,
in that,
she's very
in that
nice. She's very nice. She's great. I'm very happy for them. I will say this. Now, happy for them, and they did it the way they wanted, as every couple should. But it did rob us of a potential WIP wedding. I mean, if they
it did, because I wanted
more
sing.
Traditional, we could have went.
I wanted to sing, and I wanted to wear a suit. I got a suit.
I think the last WIP wedding there was, you were not quite here yet for. It was the summer of 22 when Ellie got married.
I heard that was a banger, though.
Very fun. Very fun.
I heard it was a banger.
Yeah. So you
would you have performed at that wedding?
If they would allow me.
They had a live band. It was very, very cool.
That, oh, they, you know, I think some of the best times are when the alcohol is flowing and then you get to sing karaoke. Mm. And then, you know, the tales, you know.
So stores. Are you offering your services to the audience as well if they're having weddings and you can you know, perform?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I will.
How much per night?
How much, you know, as far as what I want to charge?
Yeah.
It all depends on who wedding it is. I might do it for free, man, because I just want to get up there and sing. I just want to sing One Woman Man.
You just got an itch to sing?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Just an itch.
Well, we did workshop a few years ago the best of Hugh Douglas, like an album we put out at Christmas time, like the Eagles did a few years ago, where you sing songs and people would buy the album.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really want to sing, we could make another album.
I really want to sing Dave Hollister's One Woman Man. I had a chance like a long time ago. Me and Dave hung out in the city of Philadelphia. It was crazy. Like, because Dave was like the soundtrack. My first marriage, he was kind of like the soundtrack of my life.
Okay.
And I'll never forget it, man, because it was Chicago 85. That was the first time I got divorced. I was listening to Dave Hollister. And it was this song called Girl, I Gotta Go, I Can't Stay. And I was listening to it, and I said, yeah, you know, Dave was speaking to me. And I was like, you know, I got to leave this woman.
Oh, no.
And I remember.
Wow, the song did it?
No, because, you know, like when you're going through something, songs speak to you differently, right?
Yeah,
so
sure.
I was going through something with her, and so I was listening to Dave Hollister, and I never forget it. And the song came on, and I'm listening to the words, and I'm like, you know what? And then the song is say, it takes a fool to learn that love don't love nobody. I said, you know what? I'm out. And I went home, and I packed my bag, and I left.
So Dave Hollister's responsible for your divorce?
Yeah, and I told him that. When I met him, I was like, Dave, you know, you made me leave. And he started laughing. Because, like, and it's funny, right? I know we're not here. We didn't want to go here, but we're here.
Well, we're here now.
And I remember, because if you know, like Dave Hollister, he was going through something with his wife at the same time, and that's why he wrote the album, right? And he told me that, and I was like, wow, that was pretty cool. But yeah, I remember that. I remember that because he was going through something with his wife, and he wrote that.
You know,
that album.
On the midday show, you never know where it's going to go.
Especially with you.
We
yeah.
started the segment. Congratulations, John Ritchie and his new wife. We wish them so much luck and happiness moving forward. To hey, Dave Hollister's why I got divorced.
Dave Hollister, man. Dave's into the church now, but yeah, Dave was that dude back in the day.
I love it. 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines here as we talk some Phillies. Are you ready to say? And you're starting to believe this team is different. This team just feels different to me as we go through this season. Heck of an August. Bryce Harper on fire. Pitching 1-5 as good as it's been all year. And they're showing, I mean, the word that keeps coming to my mind is they're showing guts. All these ninth inning comebacks, they're showing guts they haven't shown to me since 2022. Brian in Lafayette Hill. Hey, Brian.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Hey, Brian. What's up? Well, before you go on, Brian, it's 10:50, a little afternoon. We're not quite at afternoon yet,
we
Brian.
There yet.
Yeah, what's up, Brian?
Yeah, you're right. I jumped the gun.
Oh, it's all right.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Awesome.
I think the Phillies have definitely turned the corner. My first thought yesterday, I was watching the game with a buddy of mine, was if they could get six innings out of Wheeler, you've got Marsh and Ariz as pinch hitters. And they both had huge at-bats and knocked in runs that needed to be knocked in. And when Ariz got up, it was 0-2, and I've been telling everybody he's the best 0-2 hitter in the major leagues. He goes, okay, here's your boy with an 0-2 count. And he works it to a full count, and then he comes up with a huge sacrifice fly to knock a run in. And I just think he has made such a difference with this team. And their number one priority in the offseason has to be to sign him.
Brian, I agree. I mean, he has been unbelievable. And I think it has an effect on everyone. I mean, Brian, you've seen the at-bats that Bryce Harper's had since Ariz got here. I mean, he trusts him. And I think this is he hasn't said it out loud, but we see it through his actions, the way he's taking his walks. I mean, I think this is the first time probably in 4 years, you know, 4 or 5 years since Hoskins was here and in his prime, that Bryce actually trusts the guy hitting behind him. It's made a huge difference.
And I think if you look at their dugout, they just look like they have so much enthusiasm. And he's just a shot of adrenaline, Rice.
Well, I think he helps them believe. I mean, I think he helps them believe late in games. Or like you said, you don't have to roll your eyes at an 0-2 count. You're like, all right, you know, we got this.
You got a shot.
Yeah, and I think you're right. He is the best 0-2 hitter in Major League Baseball. I mean, he'll just foul off pitches, and he will make contact. I mean, it's crazy how little he swings and misses. I mean, I haven't seen anything like this in 20 years. Probably 25 years is Tony Gwynn.
Yeah, he reminds me of Tony Gwynn.
And when we say that, it's a big deal. I mean, there's not many hitters like that anymore. Brian, good phone call, and I agree. I mean, I think the Arise effect has been massive on this baseball team, and it's kind of permeated through, including and mostly what you see with Bryce Harper. The OBP still over 500 since Arise arrived. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get to everyone's phone calls here on the Phils. We'll also get to the Eagles on the other side. And I'm ready to say something, and I need to tell you guys something about Howie Roseman that I haven't thought in years. I felt it when the roster came out. I actually felt it all summer, but I've been kind of waiting, giving Howie the benefit of the doubt. But now that this 53-man roster is out, I got to say something about Howie I haven't said in a very long time. We'll hit that next. Your phone calls. We'll discuss the idea of the Eagles keeping all four quarterbacks. Why, oh, why do we need both Tanner McKee and Andy Dalton? What are we doing? 215-592-9494. Your phone calls to the Phils. Are you ready to say they're different? And I'm ready to say something about Howie Roseman I haven't said or thought in a very long time. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.